So, what if the emotions you struggle with aren't problems to fix, but archetypes asking to be understood? So, today we're starting at the foundation. What are archetypes and why do they matter so much to our emotional lives? Ina Segal is back. She's an internationally acclaimed intuitive healer and best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body. Her work helps people understand the deeper patterns shaping their emotions, behaviors, and healing journeys. And she is here today to talk about archetypes and emotions. And so, Inna, it's so good to have you back. I'd love to start this off with what are archetypes and how are they different from personality traits or roles that we play?
Well, they actually incorporate those there. So they incorporate the roles we play, emotions that we have, including layers of emotions that we have. They incorporate patterns, they incorporate traits. And we look at archetypes essentially as it's almost like, they give us the foundation of understanding different aspects of ourselves. So if we start with the obvious, which is, all of us experienced childhood at some point, and during that childhood, we went through various stages of development. And in some of these stages of development, we really grew and we were nurtured. And in other stages of development, we got stuck and stunted, which can cause everything from physical issues to mental, emotional, energetic, all sorts of problems that we might have. We also absorbed our environment, especially in the first 7 years. So whoever we spend the most time with, that went into our nervous system and essentially into how we perceive the world. And when we're looking at an archetype, we're looking at an aspect of ourselves that was experiencing life at a particular time period and that essentially absorbed and took everything that was going on both internally and externally into itself, and then created perception, perspective, beliefs based on those, experiences, because usually we don't remember necessarily all the experiences, but the archetype synthesizes those experiences and actually goes, this is what life is, and this is how life is going to be for me because that's what I've experienced. And so we can say, well, it's subconscious, it's unconscious, but it's essentially everything melded together into an aspect of ourselves. And as we're evolving in our life, we have different parts of ourselves, different aspects that come into play. So let's say we have the young child where we can have meltdowns and we go, I don't know why I'm having this meltdown. Like this is, I'm kind of reversing back to a 3-year-old self. Or we can act like we were when we were a teenager, where it doesn't matter what anybody says, you block everyone out and you just keep repeating the same thing as if, it's a broken record. And so we can return back to that aspect of ourselves. And then, we also have parts that, like all of us, that are feminine and masculine. And so those particular archetypes, let's say the feminine one, hold your relationship with the most important females in your life from the time you were born. And what you saw, those very important stages of development, let's say the teenage time. So I don't know about you, Lisa, but when I was about 15, I'm not saying this was conscious, but there was definitely a part of me that was trying to find my own identity. And looking at my mom, looking at my dad, looking at my grandparents, looking at people around me, looking at my uncle and aunt and so on, and going, okay, so do I want to be more like this person, that person? What are the traits that they have? How do they act? Like, how do I want to be? And I remember looking at my kind of relationship with my mom, which was the relationship was good in itself because my mom always prioritized me. But in her own life, she didn't prioritize herself. And so as I was looking at that, to me, she just looked like this doing machine that was running around nonstop, doing things for everybody else, and never taking a breath to self-reflect or self-nurture or anything to do with herself. And then I looked at my dad, and my dad was doing basically whatever he wanted to do, and my mom had to deal with it. And so those were my examples. And I was like, not that either of them are appealing to me, but if I had to choose, I would be choosing my dad. So
Right.
I, immediately went into, I need to achieve, I need to be independent, I need to have my own money, I need to have freedom in that way because this is what my dad has and he has all the say and my mom doesn't. And so that
Sounds like we had the same
became,
childhood.
well, I felt so,
Yeah, that's exactly what I went through. Yeah, exactly. And like that need to like overachieve for sure. Okay, so continue. Sorry, I had to say that.
Right. And so in that sense, it was like, okay, so my feminine self and my masculine self developed as they do, alongside each other, but the feminine was given in lots of ways less time, less attention because my mom also grew up with a mother who had been so traumatized she couldn't give her warmth or love. And so my mom tried to give it to me, but from a person who didn't get it. And so, so her attempts were interesting, I'm gonna say. She gave me enormous amount of time, enormous amount of attention, but internally she just didn't have the warmth because she wasn't given it to it. And so again, I took on and became a little bit edgier, a little bit more like, hey, I say what I want. I think, I like that type of energy without necessarily realizing that later in life, when I start having relationships, that might not be useful and I might need to really work on this to refine. But unless we understand, how were we formed? What was my relationship with my family, with the most important feminine, masculine people? We cannot become ourselves later on because essentially we are bringing our ancestry and we're copying what we've seen. And so, what archetypes do, it's almost like they are living forces that allow us to come back to what's, what is this about? And let me understand. And give me some kind of a pathway, I'm going to say, of how to change it. Because when we directly work on an emotion or directly work on a trait, we're still usually doing it from now, from this experience now, right? I'm having anger, so let me work with anger. Not necessarily that, there's a part of me that maybe suppress the anger and it became bigger, and maybe it's affected my liver or my gallbladder as well. And it happened because essentially my creative, intuitive self was not recognized, acknowledged, or supported. But all of this lives inside of this archetype that that is connected to me at 5, 10, 15, 20. And if I want real change to happen, then by working directly with, let's say, the blueprint of this archetype, we start to go, oh, I am seeing it grow. I'm seeing it develop. I'm seeing it go from a place of judgment and victimhood and, fault finding to becoming wise and strong. And this is why archetypes are so important. And if I can give one more example around
Please.
this, actually with my son. So, when you have children, and especially as they get into teenage years and older, you start to look at, like you were saying, Lisa, their personality traits, right? What, what's their personality? But those traits are also, again, influenced by the people around them and become these archetypal energies that live within them and have a voice, like take over them almost. And it was very interesting for me to watch my children. So my daughter's, kind of archetypal framework as she was growing up was, I am loved. I can express myself in a girly way or feminine way in whatever way I want to and feel like. And, I'm going to be heard and I'm going to be acknowledged for it. Now, my son took on the perspective that he was the one who was, difficult, creating problems all the time, creating conflict with my daughter in particular, resistant and so on and so forth. As he got older, he spent a lot of time with one of the people, I'm going to say, he had a very strong victim inside them, whereas my daughter spent a lot of time with me, where I don't do well with too much victim energy around me. And so when my son was about 19 and he came back home, I could see in his solar plexus, which is where the victim archetype lives, he would literally, when things would become difficult, he would collapse. He would have an emotional meltdown. He would have anxiety because this is an area of connected to your teenage self, but also of, you building yourself up. And he would judge himself against everyone and he would kind of push himself, but based on, what's everyone else doing? Whereas my daughter is like, I don't care what anyone else is doing. I only care about what I'm doing, and, I care about my mental health. And he'd be like, I'm going to push myself till, till I can't move type of attitude. And I said to him for years, I was like, you have, when firstly, when you have this meltdown, I can't talk to you. I actually had to create very healthy boundaries. I recognized that this was an archetype coming out. And I would go, you are in a place, and I love you. I care about you. I understand you're feeling really vulnerable. And my door is open for you to talk to me when you can listen. Because right now, the only thing you can do is tell me how everything's bad and wrong. And it's not very helpful to you or me. So I invite you to come back and talk to me when you're ready. And so we started to kind of started to create that change. But the thing is, we have the shadow archetype and we have the archetype that can either the light or the one that can transform into the light from the shadow, right? It depends. And
Can you explain that a little bit?
so for example, we can have the victim and we can have the victorious part. But we can have the victorious part that gets things done, that wins, that, is happy with life, that kind of moves forward in life. But if we put the victorious part into the shadow and we have the victim into in the shadow as well, then both of them are actually pulling you back because every time you think about, well, I'm going to do something to succeed, the part of you that has succeeded in the past has been twisted and weakened by certain situations and now says, no, you won't, and is now pulling you back And so you actually need to work with the victorious part to transform it into, hey, I can embrace life, and even though I've had failures or challenges, I'm going to change that and turn it around and see it as opportunities to grow, that no opportunity can be wasted. And the victim part of me that takes over, that has become weakened, which is kind of connected to my weakened sense of self, is the part that I work with to strengthening my confidence, strengthening my perception of myself, or changing it, seeing, like, taking time to learn about myself, slowing down, figuring out my morals, and why am I, what is my purpose? What is it that I'm, what do I believe in? Because that's the thing that is going to navigate me and guide me, working with my emotions, so that when anxiety or really negative emotions show up, I connect to this part of me and I start to understand, and work with ages that show up in particular. And again, I have an example of the victorious part. I remember being in New York, and I had to go to this, I guess I had to go to this place to teach a workshop. I think it's called the Omega Institute, which is a beautiful, amazing place. And it was about 3 hours from New York, and I was going to go with someone, but then they pulled out, and so I had this friend who was in New York at that time, and his name was Lee Grant. And Lee Grant worked with people like Oprah, Sally Jesse Raphael, and many others. He was a producer of the Oprah show for about, I don't know, 12 years or something like that. And Lee Grant had a falling out with Oprah, and ended up on the cover of the National Enquirer. And from that, he started to kind of tumble, down, let's just say, to a time where he ended up working in, I think, Walmart for $6 an hour from whatever huge amount of money he was making before that. And I met Lee Grant, where he was kind of starting to climb his way up, but was still, keeping this victorious part. I guess jailed, I'm gonna say. It was not really allowed much time to explore or breathe. And so I said to him, can you come to this Omega Institute with me? Because I'd love to have a friend come with you, a friend with me, because yeah, it would help. And part of it was, I really want you to come and do some healing work on yourself, but I can't say directly. And so we got, and he was amazing. He, figured out how we're going to get there and so on. And so we get on this bus that was a 3 hour bus ride. And I said to him, all right, how about we start processing what happened with Oprah quite a few years ago, and talking about, what happened to you. And he was like, no way, I'm not doing that. And I said to him, really? Because we have 3 hours and you're saying you're not going to do that. And I've known you for a while and you know me. So we've been friends for a while. It's time. It's time for you to awaken the victorious part of you. And he refused. And then I said to him, well, I'm really confused. And he said, what are you confused about? And I said, your name. Your name says Le Grand, and in French it means, you're big, you're expansive, you're capable. But I'm sitting next to you and you're acting like Le Petit, so should we change your name? And he laughed. And so he started sharing with me about, what actually happened and his experiences and so on. And I could feel his breathing change. And it was the first time he talked about it since the trauma he had and the falling out, because he said she was like a mom to me, and that he didn't have before. And so as as we got kind of to the workshop, his whole energy was completely different. And the workshop was over 3 days. And on the way back, there was a real kind of expansion that was happening. But also, people need to understand that healing happens in stages. Like, we opened up this Pandora's box. We opened up something that had been really pushed down and suppressed and actually caused him to have blindness, so he could hardly see, could cause him to have all sorts of digestive issues and just issues in, like, with pain. He was in a lot of pain inside his body. And again, this is before. I mean, for years he's had this. And as we started to kind of work on it and bring it up, and he did the course, he went home and I said to him, just be very gentle. If anything happens, call me. And he calls me the next day and he goes, I've been throwing up all night. Is this normal? I think I've been poisoned. And I'm like, no, you haven't been poisoned. You're releasing. It's like all the stuff you pushed down, you are releasing it. And even though he made a joke and said he didn't sign up for that part of it, within weeks his health improved dramatically. His eyesight improved. He started opening doors to producing for different people who were at a quite a high caliber and who wanted to work with him. And it was like, wow, here's someone taking this victorious part out of the shadow, out of the darkness that they put it in, and starting to, work with it again and live fully. And it was just beautiful.
So is it because these patterns, they feel so familiar? Is that why they're so hard to change? And how do we recognize it? And does it take someone else to make us aware of it most of the time?
Well, because the patterns are alive, they're kind of, it's like having, an archetype is like an aspect, I guess, of your personality that is alive, that is operating and operating. So it's kind of like you have this wise part of you that, can direct the sense of self, their I-amness, that can work with these parts and direct them. But if our sense of self is really weak, then these parts essentially take over, and it's like they're driving your bus. They're taking over your inner self. And so, at different times when you're triggered, let's just say, the child or the teenager will come out, or the wounded feminine, or the victim, or the saboteur will come out. But at the same time, also, when you have to consciously recognize them, you have to consciously work with them. So ideally, someone who knows what they're doing teaches you how to do that, right? And I see you've got my book, The Secret of Life Wellness, where I talk a little bit about this. But essentially, you'd want to have someone who teaches you how to recognize the archetype. When I'm teaching, I actually get people to not only visualize that part of themselves, but kind of, use their hands to create that part of themselves. It's almost like they're allowing themselves to get to know and to become aware of the shape and the mold of this part of them, and to really create a relationship with that part of themselves, so that they can begin to understand everything in their life, from their relationships with themselves and others to how they co-create and manifest things in their lives, or why they don't, why they're stuck in a pattern, to health conditions. Because pretty much every health condition will have some kind of an archetypal experience, to what is my, my ancestral kind of what are the traumas that I've taken on? But it doesn't even have to be traumas, like developmental stages that are keeping me stuck. Why do I not allow myself to become as successful as I can be? So, essentially, like if anyone comes and works with me, whether it's from the secret language of your body and connecting and learning about your body to, to working with the chakras and understanding them, to ancestral work, to, purpose, I work with archetypes for everything because with emotions, you usually recognize one emotion, but you don't know where it began, where the middle is, and where it ends. And you, most people don't realize that the anger that we feel in the throat is not the same as in the solar plexus, is not the same as in the liver, or the sadness and the grief, right? But with an archetype, as you create a relationship, it is a prototype as well. I don't know, like it shows you, it's like if I was an architect, right? And I wanted to build a house, I need to have drawings to help me build the right house. And the
Right.
archetype is the drawing, right? It shows you, it gives you the structure. So as you work on the anger, you actually recognize, well, the anger is connected to my liver and it's connected to the timeline when I was 13 and my dad said this, and then to when I was 15 and this person that I had an interaction is at school, an interaction with at school said something hurtful to me. And so I started seeing life in a different way. I started perceiving, right? So it's almost like this is my point of view. This is my, this is how I perceive things now based on that experience. If you only work directly with an emotion, you don't have any of this. You can't do that because an emotion doesn't transform in a way that you can perceive and understand, right? It's just like it
Yeah,
shows up and then it fades.
yeah, I totally wish people would be able to do that. Like they get super angry at someone for something that, it's not like the situation doesn't warrant the anger that the person feels. I wish that they could sit there and go, oh, I know where that's coming from. I was 12 years old and this happened. Because it's never about that other person. Like there's always a story. There's always somewhere that it comes from. I just find that so interesting.
And it's so helpful when you first recognize it within yourself because you can determine, people often ask about intuition. How do I know the voice of intuition versus a different voice? And it's like, well, when you recognize where the intuition comes from and how it shows up, like the heart, the third eye, and so on, then you start to become aware also of who are the archetypes that live there? And where am I feeling the heat of fear, let's say, or why am I reacting to this? And you start to, again, as you develop your wise self and that deep sense of self that makes you uniquely you, you start to go, oh, well, actually, this is the part of me that's been triggered and operating. And rather than having a meltdown and creating a disaster with somebody, in terms of a relationship, let me hold this part. Let me talk to this part. Let me communicate with this part. And this is the same if you have children. You might go, oh, that person's operating from the victim at the moment. Calm down. This is not the time to have a big discussion. Or with your partner, you might go, I've just triggered their teenage self. And if I start arguing in an adult way, we're just going to have the, a huge fight and a meltdown, as opposed to, I just need to be a little bit kinder while I'm speaking to them. And when they come back to their wise self, to their adult, more mature self, then we'll have a different type of a conversation.
Interesting. So, I guess my question would be if, say, I had a trigger and I relate it back to something that happened to me when I was four. But then there was several other of the same instances that happened. If you can find it from like its first occurrence and work with that, will that heal it? Or do you have to go back to every scenario of it at different times in your life to heal it? Or how does it work?
Well, the archetype, and this is what I love, memory and timeline type of work versus archetype work, because whatever day you connect with that archetype, it's going to be related to whatever you're going through. So
Okay.
the archetype will show you without you needing to get back to a particular memory necessarily what it perceived. Let's say the archetype will show up as a 4-year-old self, as you mentioned just now, and it will show up as this, let's say it's you, Lisa, as this little girl, and she'll be looking away from you, or she'll be looking down, or she'll be hiding from you, and that tells you a huge story, right? So your connection and a relationship with her is based on, oh, maybe she had 20 experiences when she was four where she wasn't loved. You don't need to know the 20 experiences. What you need to do is to go, this is her perception and experience now, and that's how she's showing up. And my, job is to create a relationship with this part. If she's very young, like that, to be the mother maybe she never had, to nurture her, to bring her to a place of safety so that she goes from an experience of feeling unsafe, feeling fearful, into, hey, I am the parent now. I support you. I work with you. I'm going to help you. Right. And so the storyline may show up and you might be aware of what it is, but it's also not the most important aspect that we work with. We're looking at what is the result of whatever happened and what do we need to do? Because we can't change the storyline that has happened already, right? We can't change the trauma. But how do we now, as me being an adult that can nurture a child, how do I become the nurturer and embrace this part of me and allow it to grow because it stopped growing because maybe it didn't feel loved. So how do I love this part so that she doesn't need to run and find all the people in her life that may not be the right people to love her because the only experience that she has is of hurtful type of love, right? Or the type of love that abandons you, maybe. And so, of course, she's going to be looking and attracting those types of people because that's home. But as you work with her and you change home, she starts going, oh, I've grown up. Hey, Lisa, do not go for that man. Don't have that relationship with that man. Don't work with this person because they're from that old kind of perception that you've had, that they're the old structure, and what we want is to create a new healthy structure for you to move through your life with.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So you mentioned this, and I just want the audience to understand it a little bit more. You said that different archetype emotions can show up in the body through illness, tension, and physical sensations. Can you talk about that a little more?
So, let me say it in this way. I have seen, and it took me 25 years really to, and I'm still kind of really refining this understanding to become aware that all our chakras, meaning the seven that are the dominant chakras that we have, which are connected to organs and parts of the body that, have various conditions, are also connected to archetypes. And those archetypes will show up at different times based on how you are living your life. So let's say that somebody has issues like around the reproductive area. And the issue, let's say, started when they were 15 or something like that. So, but became much worse, let's say 21. So we'll look at usually the root and the sacral chakras around this, because that's where we're looking in terms of the organs. And we'll start by going, so in the first 7 years of life, which is connected to the root chakra, what did you see again around the feminine expression of sensuality, and how did you absorb that? Like, were your parents loving with each other? You know, and sometimes people say, oh, no, it's not about sexuality. It's to do with my, family and tribe and trauma. But it's like, in the first 7 years, you are developing your sexuality. You know, when you understand stages of development of a child, you know, there's a huge amount of development that happens around that time, again, based on what you are experiencing and living with and seeing as well. And so, you know, we might explore, how were you seen as a feminine person, let's say, you know? And if it's a feminine reproductive issue. So, you know, how was your father or father figure treating your mother? How did you absorb that into yourself? Right? And so we'll also tune into that archetype and go, does that archetype look healthy? You know, to you, does it appear healthy? Does it appear weak? Does it appear? And this is not about visualizing as much as tuning in, getting a sense of it, right? And so we'll work with that part. We'll look at the emotions. We'll work energetically to clean that part of, you know, your chakra and your etheric body, which is the copy of the physical body that has the reproductive system inside of it. And by working on it energetically, it will then affect it physically. You know, we might work with some colors. We might work with something that I teach in my Awaken the Healer Within program, which is etheric hands, where we use these energetic hands to cleanse organs in, you know, inside our etheric body and affecting the physical. We might communicate with that part of you who has anger, but it's a childlike anger, and, you know, help to explain it and help to clear the anger through, let's say, cord clearing, which is another energetic process. We may then help, like, and this is not a one-off process. We may continue to connect with this part of us and ask questions like, what do you need to be healthy? How, you know, what can I do to help you feel more feminine, more strengthened, and so on? And then we may move to the sacral chakra, which is between 7 and, you know, 14, but going into kind of the teenage time, and go, you know, and it touches the solar plexus, because let's say it was 15. So we're looking at, okay, so what was happening to you around that time period? And again, let's ask to see the archetype, and the archetype will tell you what age it is, in terms of, you know, the intention is like, what are you holding? Why are you holding pain in that area? What age are you? Show me, and let's get to know each other, and let's communicate, you know. And from there, you know, the storyline might be very different. It might be to do with school, or a boy or a girl, or whoever, someone who rejected you in a different way and made you shut down, or humiliated you, or sexually touched you, whatever it is. And so then we'd work on that part of the archetype to bring it into, again, you know, into her well-being, and for it to grow And then we might still, because again, in understanding the chakras, and these archetypes and when they show up, let's say they say, well, at 21, it just became really, really bad. So I know, let's say that around between 18 and 21, the prostitute archetype awakens alongside the inner child inside the root chakra. And it's all about integrity, and it's all about, do I back myself or do I actually give myself away? And so now it's kind of a different archetypal story that we may need to focus on, but we need to do all of the three. And the anger is going to be different here, right? To have this really profound transformation for the person and for them to go, oh, wow, well, there was actually anger, but underneath anger, when I was 21, there was disappointment and there was grief. And, when I was seven, I just felt abandoned, and I just, what I saw in terms of love and sexuality and sensuality and connection was really hurtful and ugly. And so, again, internally, because the body's wise, that organ, that chakra, that kind of part of yourself started to degenerate instead of growing and evolving and expanding.
Right. Wow. So when an intense emotion comes up, you mentioned that we can feel it in different areas of our body. And so I know that I felt like when you said that, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like sometimes I feel grief in my throat versus my chest versus, in my gut or my stomach. So does that mean that that intense emotion was tied to that area of my body, so that chakra, and that it could possibly have been related to a situation to do with that chakra. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that exactly. And the other thing I want to say is most people who are very new at this work will throw out things like, listen, you should just listen to your body, and your body never lies, and do what your body says. And it's like, well, yeah, it doesn't lie, but how do you know what to do? Because, if your body's saying, okay, I have anxiety about a particular situation, the normal thing that you would do if you had no wisdom is run, right? That's what the
Yeah, or
body's
take some, or
saying.
take medication. Yeah, or go drink.
Exactly. Or take medication, as opposed to, what has your body stored in terms of what is it really saying? And are you yet capable to make decisions in your life based on that understanding? Or is your understanding very surface-based and everything that you do is not actually what you're meant to be doing? And I see this constantly, Lisa, in terms of relationships. I know we've talked about this, just the two of us. But for instance, I see people say, well, I met this person and my gut said this and I ran. And or I met this person, my gut said that, and I say it. And it's like, well, that's the thing, how do you, without discerning and actually exploring which archetype is speaking, how do you know what it's really saying? Because
Right.
I know, for instance, when I was with my before, I really kind of started to discern and understand how archetypes fully work. Even though I had quite a good understanding of archetypes before, when I met my second husband, there were parts of me that said, like, that screaming saying run, and there were parts of me that were saying, I want this more than I want anything else in my life. And it was, at that time, I didn't really know how to discern enough to fully listen to which
Right.
part, or to help it to, to grow so that I would get the best decision, right? And, and so again, I listened to the part that screamed the loudest, as opposed to the parts that may have been for my highest good or my greatest good. I mean, again, I don't regret things in my life. I learned a lot from the experience. But then I know when I was with my current partner, I remember because I had, post-traumatic kind of stress disorder from being with a narcissistic post-traumatic stress disorder. I didn't know that existed at the time, but I remember being in a car with my current partner and just going into complete numbness, like a state of internal disassociation. And I never had that experience prior to that. And so a part of my brain was going, is he the wrong person? And another part of my mind, because I'd already been working for quite a while with the archetypes, was going, where is this showing up? And how old is this part? And what is she feeling or saying that I need to connect with myself rather than throwing it onto, oh, he's doing something wrong? Because the
Right.
times where it showed up, he wasn't doing anything wrong, and it was like in my head, I remember going, am I just not connecting? Is this just not the right person? Like, or am I, do I have a part that needs healing that is showing up in this experience so that I can make the right decision, right?
Right. And then that relationship or your past relationship forced you to heal those things to move on to the next relationship. And yeah, the cycle continues. Inna, this conversation has been so amazing. If you could tell the listeners like one thing about what to do when an intense emotion surfaces, what would you tell them?
Stop, slow down. Don't try and push it away. Place your hands on that part of your body. Breathe into it rather, slowly, usually breathing through your nose and out through your mouth with slightly pursed lips, just to calm the nervous system down a little bit, which is what it does. And then start asking questions around, let's say it's in my solar plexus. What am I really feeling? What does this part of my body do? Well, it digests food. So, this something that's happened, this interaction, I'm not digesting. What is it triggering? Is this connected to my younger self? And if so, if I could visualize or feel it or sense it, or even hear it, what would it be? And if I could get a sense of the age of that part, what would it be? And then if you can connect to that part, you can actually ask, what is this really about for you? And from there, there's so many tools again where you can create healing. And I do really encourage people to go to my website, inasiegel.com, and look at the masterclasses slash mini workshops there. Hopefully you don't wait too long because they're not going to be there forever and they're free because at the moment, just only for the moment, because I just want to take away excuses from people. But in the future they will not be free. And I really encourage you to take the time for yourself to talk, to learn about yourself, to learn how to journal, to learn how to self-reflect so that essentially your well-being and your health is in your own hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. That was such a good conversation. I could talk about this forever.
Same. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you to our audience for tuning in. We'll make sure to have Inna's website in the show notes for you. And I think that one takeaway I'm taking away is to just get quiet and get curious about the things that we're feeling. Our body knows. So I know that people are saying and thinking, how am I supposed to know what age I was when that happened? Your body knows. Just get quiet and ask, and your body is going to tell you. Stay tuned for the next episode. Take care, everyone.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.